Affirm each and every word that was just spoken now. God's so good. We are entering a series of what it means to hear the voice of God, to hear God speak. And God, in His goodness and His grace, has just given us a snapshot of what it can look like in this setting when we gather together and we trust and step into that space of speaking what we sense God might be saying. You know, prophetic words, prophetic sounds like this, doesn't it? That sounds, all it means is that, not when I say all it means, not diminishing it, but understanding it, all it means is that God is speaking. God is speaking. Prophetic words. And if we don't step into the space and actually speak it, then there's another gift that God has given. Because these are the gifts that the Spirit of God has given us. Words of prophecy, the one that partners with that, the gift of discernment. If we don't have people that are prepared to step into that space and speak what they sense God is saying, then discernment will never, a gift becomes redundant. And so if you sense God is saying something, I encourage you, step into that space. And we're human. We're not going to get it right all the time. But we are in community. We're in relationship. And in that place of trust, we will process it. And God will seek to confirm it. And we will hear our God speak. That is our message this morning. You can all go home now. All right. What I'd love to do, I'd like to invite Debbie to come, and Debbie's going to read the word to us this morning. Thank you, Debbie. Lord, we thank you for your word, your written word, your spoken word, your word that is confirmed with signs and wonders. Lord, this morning Debbie has just read your word, declared it to a community that cannot hear, but God, your word is for them. We thank you that you speak to all people. Lord, this word this morning, would we not just hear it, not just see it, but know it? We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Thank you, Debbie. Go near and listen to all that the Lord our God says. Then tell us whatever the Lord our God tells you. We will listen and obey. The setting of this passage is from Deuteronomy. It's recapping what happened earlier. These are the words of the Israelite people to Moses. The mountain is covered with the presence of God. Fire and smoke. God testifying to his presence. And the people say, Moses, that's too scary. It's just too scary. I'm not prepared to go there. That's the bottom line. I'm not prepared to go there. So you go. You go, Moses. And then come back and you tell us what God says. And we'll do what God tells us. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. And I think we're similar. I know for myself, when When I hear what somebody else says God says, it's different to when God is whispering it to me. And coming here and serving you, I want to be a leader that does not allow you to sit at the bottom of the mountain. I want you to go up the mountain. I want you to go into those places and those spaces and hear God for yourself. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting that we collapse our faith into individualistic experiences. We are called to be the body. We're called to journey together. But as individuals, as we hear God speak, we can share that with each other, and God can use that to confirm. Last week, if you weren't here, we're not proposing for 1 minute that this is God, okay? We don't know what God looks like, by the fact that Jesus said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." But without that, it says God is spirit. Our understanding, our perception of God affects how we know God, what we think God might say. It's so important. And so that's why the last 3 weeks we've explored who our God is. Jesus. God. Not big God, then sort of like little demigod Jesus and that like afterthought Holy Spirit. No. God. Jesus, God. And second week, Holy Spirit. His presence. God with us. Holy Spirit. God. Father. God the Father. God. Three. Without confusion. One. Now, if you're sitting there and thinking, it's madness, what's he talking about? The math doesn't add up. If you're visiting here today and you're wondering, I don't get it. I get that. I understand that. How could you get it? We are talking about something that requires the Holy Spirit to bring understanding. In Scripture, it describes it as a mystery. And for thousands of years, the church has been seeking to understand who our God is. And we seek to learn from the church to know who our God is. Because the church is the place where God said his spirit will be. When we gather together, there I am in the midst of us. So, this God is not an unapproachable God. He's not up the mountain separating himself from us. He's come amongst us and made himself known. And so that took place, and already these words have been declared this morning. A way has been made. At that moment, the veil of the temple was torn. We can enter in to the presence of God. Not because of our righteousness, but because of the blood of Christ that washes us, cleanses us, and enables us to be in the presence of God. Amazing. Amazing. I shared with you back in February when I first visited this passage, encouraging us to understand who we are, that we as the church are the temple of God, the place that God is building into a temple. He calls us this, and he describes us as believers as a holy priesthood. So no longer is it Lyndon going up the mountain week in, week out to find the latest tablet to come and present to you for this week. No. No, we all get to go up the mountain. We all get to enter into the presence of God. And together, God will speak. Well, I don't know about you, but I find that super exciting. This morning, just a foreshadow of that, a taste of that. What does it look like for God to speak? So I ask you, please, please don't stay away. Don't be satisfied for the crumbs that I might come and bring from week to week. Come to the table. Sit with the Spirit of God. Let Him feed you the full meal, the fullness of what He is speaking to you. To explore how it is that God speaks, I don't want to for 1 minute suggest that what just happened this morning where people spoke words and we affirm those words. I do, but that is just a snapshot of how our God speaks. If I was to speak how God speaks, you would hear my perspective. And I want to declare that in faithfulness I would speak what I believe to be true, what I know to be true, what the word attests to be true. But God speaks far more than the way that I know and experience. How does He speak to you? I want to explore that. Hence our series. Oh, there's some more that I had. I want you to understand that you can approach, that we can come into the presence of God with confidence. All right? Again, we don't come by our righteousness, by what Christ has done. So, in exploring what our God might say, where do we start? Well, I'm sorry, I'm Baptist, and I'm a bit old school, but I think this is where we need to start. This is not dated. This is breathed on by our Creator. Yes, written by humans. And so when we seek to read it, we need to understand that and understand the context, to whom it was being written, how it was being written, what style of writing it is, so that we can understand what God might be saying. That's our God. He uses us. He uses you and I, our brokenness. Even in that, He uses it to convey His gospel, His good news. This word, breathed on by the Spirit of God. When we approach it, if we approach it just in our humanness, at an academic level, and seek to know it, how were the Pharisees and Sadducees described by Jesus? Yeah. You know the words, but you don't know God. We have to come humbly and say, Lord, as I read this word today, would you speak to me? Humbly we approach the word. Jesus said, my words are life. It's why we approach the word. They are life-giving. It's one setting that I want us to explore, to hear the voice of God. Again, our key passage this morning that we're looking at says to go near. One of the exciting things that I'm looking forward to is Rachel sharing. Proximity. What does it mean to come close? God from a distance can be a scary God. But when we get closer, we see with His eyes. We see who He is. He's a good, good God. There's a story that I absolutely love in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Samuel and Eli. Eli was the prophet, and in those days, the words were few and far between. Eli was resting in his usual place. He was not where the presence of God was. Samuel, where was he? He was right where the presence of God was, tending to the flame. What a beautiful picture. Who heard God speak? Was it the one that was separate or the one that was close? I'm so looking forward to Rachel unpacking this passage and others, which will reveal what it is for those that know Christ to pursue him, to draw close. We've also got creation. Ooh, now we're getting new agey. Creation. What does it mean to know our God? Revealed through creation. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Wow. What does it mean to know God and hear God speak? In the world of which he has created us to be part of. And so, after that message is brought by somebody here in this community, that night, we'll go up to the gardens and we'll have a church service in the gardens to sit there, not to worship creation, but to worship the Creator and hear what might he say in that space. Another area that we want to explore is, how does God speak in the everyday? By God's grace, next week, we will have that unpacked. I'm excited. I'm going to be a stinker because I'm going to read it because it's just so good. Romans 12, 1 to 2. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you, and it's the best thing that you can do for him. The passage goes on. What is it to know God in the everyday mundane reality of having to hop in your car and drive to work? The everyday opportunity of cleaning the toilet. Does God speak in those places? Yes. Yes, he does. And again, I'm so excited that we have people that are normal. People just like you and I, who are going to unpack this from week to week and share how they seek to hear God in these places. So good. Phil's going to be taking us on a journey, what it is to know God in the place of worship. What does it mean to hear God in that space? Again, I think Phil decides to demystify that, yeah? For me, this has been perhaps one of the most significant ways that I hear God speak. I think it has a lot to do with proximity, coming into the presence of God. But his voice just becomes, for me, clearer. For others, I know that it's a setting that they just find foreign and weird. For them, man, take me to the bush. That's where I hear God speak. So looking forward to hearing and learning from each other how we can hear God speak. Dreams, visions, words of knowledge, all of these we want to seek to understand what it is to encounter the living God not locked in the past, just stories amongst pages, but today. But we will tie it to these pages. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We will know him as he has been revealed. So that's stage one. Stage one is we're going to discover how is it that we can hear from God. Stage two, not just how we can hear God, but what can the effects on our hearing be? It says that God's ears are attentive to their prayers. Who is he describing? Those that are righteous. Well, are you ready for the news? You are righteous. Because of what Christ has done, you are right with God. And yet I know from my own personal experience, for me to hear God, while he may hear my cry, no matter what state I'm in, when I am not right with God, when I know that there are areas of my life that he would have me surrender to him, cry out for him to be part of, it's harder. I think sin deadens and causes us to not listen attentively. And so I want us to explore, where is it that God might be wanting to invite us to a place of freedom? Whatever is good, whatever is pure, let your mind dwell on these things. Man, that's a challenge to me. That's a challenge to me. My wife giggles. Yes, it is, Lyndon. Back to our key text. Then tell us whatever the Lord our God tells you. This is the discernment stage. This is the stage when we come together and we start to share what it is that we sense God has been saying. And so we're going to open the word and explore, how is it that we discern? Again, a foundational for our faith is a spirit-breathed word. Not a book from the past, but a living spirit-breathed word. It will show us and reveal what is truth. In that process, we'll seek to confirm. For me, I like the word echo. When God speaks once, man, it ricochets. You hear it again. And this morning, we had that when these words were brought. And I bless you for stepping into that space. Already passages this morning, God's revealed in multiple ways. Wise counsel. What does it mean to seek wise counsel? As a young man, I am still learning. I've been here for a month. I've already made mistakes. I have to seek wise counsel. I've been given an incredible team to work with. The elders are placed there through you by God. And I am so thankful for them and others that have positions of experience and wisdom. Not man's wisdom. It's not what we're looking for. And can I say that these words that we're seeking to hear through each other, how's this for offensive? I'm going to say it. I don't care what you think. Is that really inappropriate? It's true. I don't care what you think. I care what you think God thinks. I'll say it again. I care what you think God thinks. In this process, we're seeking to determine what the mind of Christ is. What is God saying to us? Again, many of these areas will be spoken to by you. And throughout this journey, I have the privilege of popping my head up and asking of us, are we keeping our eye on the sign giver? Here it is. See, I don't want us to be so fascinated by the signs. When God does something miraculous, what was amazing? Was it the mountain that was on fire with smoke bellowing? Is that where our attention and our focus is? Was that what was amazing? No. No, it was that God spoke. And so, my role in this journey as a church is to keep on popping my head up and reminding us, what's Jesus doing? What's Jesus saying? Who is our God? A key part of that, again, is recognizing that we are the temple. I want us, as we hear God, not to be lone rangers. No cowboys allowed. Now, for those of you who are thinking, okay, this is a new cultural settle for me, what do you mean by a lone ranger? What do you mean by a cowboy? It's somebody that has an idea, and I want to acknowledge that perhaps God did speak that to them. But they take off and run off. I'm going to respond to what God has said. He said this. I'm going to do it. Off I go. You're looking at somebody that has done that. And it's not, I believe, how God has called us to journey. I believe he's called us to journey together. When the disciples first went out and Jesus sent them, breathed his spirit upon them, he said, go in twos, threes. Go together. Go together. So as, and I expect God to be speaking through this process. This whole plan, this whole program of us journeying together will be a complete and utter waste of time if God doesn't speak. But I believe he will. And in that process, he might ask of you to do some unusual things, something new, something different. Can I encourage you? Don't run off and just do it. Come together and seek to have wise counsel come in, not to control you. That's not what they're for. They're to resource you and equip you so that you can do the very thing that God has asked you without tripping and falling on your face. My face. My time in China. A key lesson that I felt God has taught me from that time. The mistakes that I have made, there's so many good things, and occasionally there were some stupid things that I did. So many of these could have been avoided if I allowed wise counsel to speak into my journey. Please, don't run off alone. Let's journey together. The other thing that I'll be doing as I'll be bringing us together is reminding us whose mission we're on. We're not on this place's plan. It's not Lyndon's plan. It's not the elder's plan. It's not your plan. It's not your mission. It's God's mission. So we'll be reminding ourselves what it is that God's mission is. To seek and save the lost. I want to give out to you at this stage. Can I have three volunteers, please? Thank you, Rachel. Thank you, Phil. If you would give one of these to everybody, if you're a visitor, please take one. There we go. So this is a gift that I'd like to give you. It says on the front, "Our God speaks." Doesn't really show up there, but that's right. So our passage today, Deuteronomy 5, 27, our God speaks. I want you to expect our God to be speaking. But I don't know about you, but if I don't make a note, I forget. How many times have I been in perhaps a baptismal setting, and you're giving a passage to somebody, that person is so out of it. You can't remember what everybody gave you. Write it down, and you give it to them. I forget all the time. I think this goes with part of our call to steward. What is it to receive a word from the Lord? This past weekend, just yesterday, I sat with a couple in that attend this church, and it is obvious that the Lord has an incredibly strong prophetic gifting upon this lady in the relationship. Incredibly so. And God has been teaching her what it means to steward that gifting. If I tell you a story of when I was in youth group, I was young and zealous. Now I'm old and zealous. I was young and zealous, and the Lord has given me an ability to sense, to know some things, prophetic words of knowledge. There was a young lady in the community, and I got to know her quite well, the privilege of leading her to the Lord. And in that journey, God would just give me words of knowledge. And I was able to speak into her life and bring amazing freedom that God invited her into through that. And that was just the grace of God. Thanks, guys. Need a few more? Okay, we'll sort it out. Thanks, guys, and we'll get some more. Who hasn't got one? Raise your hand. Thank you. Thanks, guys. If you don't have one, raise your hand. Thank you. So in this process, as this young lady walked with God, she would come into youth group, and I'd look across, and I'd like, yep, God's given me something for you. It was too much. It was too much. I had been given for her words from God, and I wielded them like an axe. God's word, whether it's here or a prophetic word, is sharper than a two-edged sword, and we need to use it like a scalpel with much gentleness and care and thought. This young lady, so messed up by this process, ended up marrying a pastor. By the grace of God, that's the journey that she's had on. And so I've had to learn what it means when God gives you a word. It doesn't mean that you automatically blurt it out. Sit with it. Sit with it. Take it back to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, what would you have me do here? I share it again with those that perhaps are in leadership and seek their advice. We are a family. We trust each other. Let's journey through this together. So your book that I've given you, I would like to invite you to write down what you sense God might be saying. It's termed journaling. This is one way that that journaling can happen. I don't get journaling. I'm not that person. Other people, it's so their thing. I want to hear from that person. This is an area that I believe God would have us learn what it is to write down. Because when we write down, it gives us the ability to go back. Classic example. It's written down. We can go back. God uses it in a special way. The elders. Where are the elders? Would you raise your hand? One, two, three. All right. Give us your book. So here's the deal. For you guys, Cough it up. Thank you. Who does not? There's quite a few here still. Would you process that, Rach? Thank you so much. Sorry, mate, it's not that easy. So, for our elders, what I'm asking of them is not just to seek the Lord, what he might be saying for them, but what is he saying for us specifically as a fellowship? For you. God has placed them into this place to bring direction and leadership. And I am asking God to speak through them to us. Now, that doesn't disqualify you from being able to do the same. But specifically, this is why we've earmarked them as our elders. This is one of their principal roles. And so, I'm going to ask you to be attentive at night when you're asleep. Is that an oxymoron? I believe God is going to wake us up. So all of us, when we go to bed, let's take our book and put it beside us. When we open the Word, let's take our book. And when God speaks, let's write it down. Let's write it down. Go near and listen to all that the Lord our God says. Then tell us whatever the Lord our God tells you. We will, by the power of His Spirit, we will listen and obey. Lord Jesus, I believe this is your word in season for this place. God, you speak. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see. This in your precious name. Amen. Part of going near. Is approaching the table. To do this morning, I want to invite us by the words that shape our Embrace service. This is the passage that Embrace uses to center it, to know who they're being called to be. Go out. Go at once into the streets and lanes of the towns and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. The slave said, "Sir, what you ordered has been done, and there is still room." Then the master said to the slave, "Go out into the roads and lanes and compel people to come in so that my house may be filled." This morning, this table, I compel you to come. If you love Jesus, if you desire to be part of His community, this table is for you. If you're on that journey of seeking to know who your God is, if you want to use this opportunity as a way of crying out to God, "God, I want to know you," then I invite you to come. If you're not at that place, then let the cup and the bread pass you by. Can I invite the worship team to come? And the people that have been set aside to serve, that would be great. 1 Corinthians, it tells us that when we gather together, we are to take this and remember the words of Christ, where He took the bread and He broke it and He said, "This is my body, broken for you." Thank Thanks, guys. In the same manner, he took the cup. And he said, this is my blood poured out for you. Eat and drink in remembrance of me. If I could have those that are serving to come and serve, and if we don't have anybody lined up, then can I invite these two rows here, please? First two rows to come, that would be awesome. Thank you.